Steve Price is with us. Morning, mate.
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of nurses, just as anecdotal, don't believe in vaccination, and so they're refusing to get vaccinated. And it is supposed to be mandatory for health frontline health workers to be vaccinated, but clearly no one is actually making sure that that mandate is followed through. And so that's what happened at St Vincent's, and that example could well be in many other hospitals right around the country.
So you're staring at a person on a ventilator with COVID, gasping for their life, and they haven't been vaccinated, and you there as the medical professional, also unvaccinated because you don't believe in vaccination, aren't joining any dots.
You'd hope like hell you weren't at work if you knew you had COVID. I mean, that would be point one. And point two, I can't believe that a hospital, particularly in a heart unit, would allow people unvaccinated to work in there. So, look, for goodness sake, we're gonna stop people going and having a veal parmigiana and a pot of beer if you're not vaccinated in about 2 weeks' time.
That's the madness of it. How's your roadmap feel? Was there any mention of picnics?
Well, it was 14 degrees and raining in Melbourne yesterday, so I'm not sure what lunatics would have been out having picnics. It was more like a dead end. I mean, I tried to like Daniel Andrews yesterday. He did one thing that helps me. As of Sunday this week, 80% of Victorians will be single jabbed, and that means he'll free me up to go and walk around a golf course with one other person.
Good.
As long as I don't get in a cart, speak to the person, or touch the flagstick. So that's a great thing that he's allowed me to do next weekend. But in general, he's been much tougher than what they are in New South Wales. So to boil it all down, that 70% double jabbed in New South Wales, you're basically reopened. In Victoria, that will take 80%, and that means that Victorians will be waiting until at least the end of the first week of November to have any real sense of freedom. And even on 70% double vaccinated, where things in New South Wales go back to normal, for example, in Victoria, they'll reopen hotels, but only if you're prepared to sit outside. There'll be no one allowed to go into a hotel. You'll have to be outside. Now, A, the weather would be dependent on whether that works.
Yeah, sure.
B, there's plenty of hotels that don't even have an outside area, so they're going to have to remain shut. Business is not happy. Hospitality's not happy. Schools are still delayed way back into November before they go back. And the spring racing carnival looks like having no crowds, whereas the Everest in Sydney in a couple of weeks' time will have a crowd of 5,000.
And so he's not for turning. As you look at New South Wales and you go, there it is, there's your plan, there's the opening, there's the pub, there's the horse racing, Daniel just sits there and going, well, we are what we are and it is what it is.
Yep, he says he's taken the health advice based on the Burnet Institute modelling, and he believes that opening up at 80% double vaccinated is better than opening up at 70%. Now, the other problem with that, of course, Mike, is do we trust him? Will he backtrack on this anyway? And what happens when we get to double 80%? Will these things really happen? He said yesterday, yes, it will. And he said, look, we're hoping that you'll be able to have people in your house at Christmas, because as it stands, New South Wales, at 70% double dose, you can have people to your home. In Victoria, at 70% double dose, you cannot. Not even have anyone at home. You can't even have them in your backyard. So the two states are completely different.
So here's our problem. We've reached a hesitancy rate. We're booked in at about 78%, but now we're getting a hesitancy problem. We don't have any targets or anything. So we don't know what we need. Is it 80%, 90%? We don't know the numbers, don't know about borders, don't know about anything. And so we've hit some sort of hesitancy. Do you have hesitancy yet in that sense? You're having to twist arms to get people jabbed?
Not really, because what they're making very clear is that unless you're vaccinated with two doses, you're not going to be able to do very much. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to go to hotels. You won't be able to go to restaurants. In many instances, you won't be able to go to work, because your job will mean that you need to be double vaccinated. So Queensland, for example, was lagging a bit behind last week. They've now started to catch up because they realise without vaccination, they won't be able to do anything. So I guess the one thing, and we saw this with the UK, didn't we? If you drive people to get vaccinated because they think they won't be able to do anything if they're not, then the numbers will continue to go up. You put a little doubt in their mind and go, oh, we may not really have vaccine passports, then people perhaps don't find a reason to go out and do it.
Price. So Christian Porter's quit cabinet but not parliament, so that saves a by-election. Is that what it boils down to?
And he says he'll stand at the next election. This is the former Attorney General. Of course, he was accused and denies being involved in a historical rape incident involving a teenager when he was a student. Porter has always denied that he was involved in any such rape. The ABC reported it at the time, and Porter then sued the ABC. Now, suing anyone in this country and yours is a very expensive exercise, as many people listening to us this morning would attest to. So Christian Porter sued. He actually successfully had the ABC print an apology on their website that if anyone mistook what they had reported as him being guilty, then they apologised for that. But he then ended up with legal fees of around $1 million, which he says he could not personally afford to spend, to pay for. And so he set up what's called a blind trust. This blind trust had then had money poured into it by people who have remained anonymous, and Christian Porter thought he would be able to get away with that. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, said, I don't think that passes the pub test. No. We can't have a minister in Cabinet who may have been given money by someone who could influence him down the track. So Porter yesterday, at the behest of the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, said that he would stop working as a minister and he would go onto the backbench.
Fair enough. What do the poll numbers say this morning?
Well, they're both down. Both major parties and the independents have picked up. And it's not, interestingly, One Nation or the Greens. So there may be a bit of drift toward some of the mad Clive Palmer party types. But Scott Morrison and Albanese's personal approval ratings are down. Labor support for federal Labor has fallen. And that's incredible when you consider we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Yeah. Labor's primary vote went down 2 points to 38. Popularity of both Scott Morrison, and this poll, by the way, was taken before we stitched up that deal on the submarine, so it'll be interesting to see what the next one.
Tell you what, it's been a long time since I've seen anyone diplomatically as angry as the French are. They are so in your face, they'll never get over it, will they?
They're not happy. You know, to upset the French is not a bad thing, as a lot of Kiwis would know. Who cares what the French think?
I think Scott will be telling them that. Good on you, mate. Catch up Wednesday. Appreciate it as always. Steve Price, Mondays and Wednesdays on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.